Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording right now. And every surah from the Quran is named after, every surah in the Quran is named after a main topic or the main story. So, in the surah, for example, can you give me an example? Like Surah Al-Baqarah. Why was it called Surah Al-Baqarah, the cow?
Because it's about the story of the cow.
Because the story of the cow. Now, is it the story of the cow? Is it take? Does it take the entire surah?
No, but it takes most of it.
It takes most of it. That's not true. It takes only very few ayat. Very few ayat. However, the emphasis, you know, where Allah is emphasizing this story of Al-Baqarah. Do you know that story of Al-Baqarah? You know what happened?
It's the one of the cow, right? It's like
No.
Okay.
No, it was about the goat.
You know the uncle, if the uncle is alive, if the father doesn't have children, then who inherits the money, his wealth?
The uncle.
The uncle, his brothers. Right? His brothers. You got this part right?
What if he has no brothers?
Then his wife.
Then it goes to...
his wife.
Oh.
Or sisters. Or like
not the
family.
Entire wealth. The wife gets a portion and the uncle gets a portion. So, here we go. We have... We have a person that doesn't have a father, just like Lion King.
No, he has a father, but he has a father killed.
Yes.
Juliet,
he didn't have children. Zimba, or Zimba, like they call him. Simba doesn't have children at the beginning. So guess who was supposed to inherit him?
Scar,
which is his...
No, Simba's the little one.
Yes. Scar is supposed to inherit from, what's the name of the big one?
Mufasa.
Okay? Scar is supposed to inherit everything from Mufasa. He's supposed to be the chief. Okay?
Except that there's one little problem.
Yes. And he was going to be not only the chief, also is going to inherit a big portion of the
land.
Of the what?
The land. Or like the wealth?
The wealth, that's right. So this happened before. So the uncle, now like Simba, like Mufasa, had, you know, got a child. And he was happy. But guess who was mad?
The uncle.
The uncle.
Because the kid would inherit his wealth.
Will block him. The child will block the uncle will block the uncle from having from getting anything from the inheritance. You got this part right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what happens next? Okay. Unlike the story of Lion King, Scar wanted to kill the Simba, just the boy Simba. Okay? For if he kills the boy Simba and then kills Mufasa, okay, then he's going to inherit everything. Okay? If he killed the Mufasa, then he inherits right away. Okay? So basically here what happens is similar to that. The guy from the children of Israel. This story happened in the children of Israel. The guy
told us this.
Hmm?
No, Sherlock. He just explained it to us later.
The guy will learn lessons from it. Lessons from it. The guy, the uncle, killed his nephew. Okay? The uncle killed his nephew. Why? Because he wants to
inherit the cow.
No, not inherit the cow.
Hungry, hungry.
Inherit the money of his brother. And then he took the body and he dumped the body, okay, in the backyard.
Of the enemy neighbor.
Yes, of the enemy. You know, the enemy. This family has another family that is, it has an enemy family. Like another family, both of them are enemies of each other. So he took the boy and he threw the boy in the backyard of the enemy family. Okay? So now who do you think the family of the killed the guy blamed?
The enemy family.
The enemy family.
Could you repeat it? I'm kind of lost.
Okay. There were two families that has animosity with each other.
Yeah.
So the uncle killed the boy and he put it in the backyard of the enemy family. Right?
Yeah.
The family that he has, he is enemy with. You got this part right?
Yeah.
So, whom are they going to accuse?
The enemy family.
The enemy family. The enemy family is going to be accused.
Okay. Of course they're going to be accused, because they're like the main, you know how in like Cinderella, how there's that evil person? The main evil person in the story is that, is just like those people.
Okay,
also
so the two families were about to fight. Were about to fight. The two families were about to fight. So they went, and before fighting, they went to Prophet Musa and said, and asked him, can you ask Allah who is the killer? Can you ask Allah who is the killer? Prophet Musa said, I will ask Allah. So he went to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the answer came that slaughter a cow. Slaughter a cow.
Oh, isn't it about the golden cow?
I've heard this before.
The slaughter a cow.
Okay, mm-hmm.
So now he went back to them because they went back. Prophet Musa went back to them and told them that Allah wants you to slaughter a cow. Allah wants you to slaughter a what?
Cow.
A cow.
Artificial cow.
No, a cow. So the first response was,
are you serious?
Are you kidding us? Are you serious? No. They said, are you kidding us? So Prophet Musa answered and said, Do you know that I'm an ignorant person? Do you know about me that I'm an ignorant person? When you joke in serious matters, okay? In serious matters like this, when you joke, then you are not a good person.
Right.
So Prophet Musa said, the normal people don't do it. So you want me to do it? So I am not among the ignorant ones. So they said, of course didn't understand the relationship between the cow and the killed boy. So now, Prophet Musa, if they would have grabbed any cow and slaughtered this cow, would that be enough?
Yes.
any cow, slaughter the cow, that should be enough. However, they were not polite with the Prophet Musa and not polite with Allah. So they said to Prophet Musa, okay, tell us, what is the look of this
cow?
Cow.
He looks like a cow.
Yeah.
Gold.
He says it is a golden cow. It's actually, they went to the Prophet Musa and they asked, what color is the cow?
Gold with white.
So, covered with gold, with yellow looking. Yellow. It looks like gold.
Yes.
Because it's yellow. And it has no marks on it. Just the entire cow is...
Oh, and then, like, doesn't a boy sell it to them, like a family or something?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he should have just kept it, because it was his dad's.
The cow is yellow. So they went and said, oh, if they would go and just kill any yellow cow, that would be fine. But
it's rare.
They went and they said, okay, explain to us. See, every time they ask a question, Allah makes it what?
Harder
on them, because they were not polite with Allah.
I'm just wearing my knee up here. It's like, not even touching my foot to the chair.
Okay. So Allah replied to make it difficult. Allah said, it is a spoiled cow that does not work on the farm. It's a cow that doesn't work on the farm. So basically, if we may say, we say it's a cow that's spoiled, that never worked on the farm. She was like, she was not used to work in the farm. So now it's harder and harder on them. Then they said, Ya Allah, describe more about her. So Allah told the Prophet Musa to tell them that this cow is very beautiful. This cow is very beautiful. Or this cow, beautiful. Okay? So now they need... Okay. So they ask questions with the intentions of giving Prophet Musa a hard time. Okay? Give Prophet Musa a hard time. So after they slaughtered it, Allah said, take part of the beef and hit the dead boy with this beef. So what happened is that the boy woke up from death and he pointed to his uncle and said, my uncle killed me. And then he went back to death.
He was dead the whole time. He just was like the walking dead.
No, not the walking dead. He just sat down. He was sleeping in his grave. So he sat down and he pointed to his uncle and he said, my uncle killed me.
Like the spirit of
death. Okay? So now the war between the two tribes or between the two families now is gone, because the uncle is from the same family as the deceased boy, okay? So they can, like, internally they can punish him. Okay, so the lesson is, when you hear an order from Allah,
do it.
Don't keep, like, sort of nagging about it. or giving the prophet a hard time by asking more and more.
The irony is, there's no prophet's room.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a lesson that when affects
now, the second part that we will learn today is about the spider.
The spider's fake. This is a fake made up children's story.
The story of the spider. The story of the spider. What is the story of the spider?
Is that the one where the web protects the...
No.
And
this is not right, by the way.
Oh, it's not.
About the web and the egg.
No. I the was bird talking egg. About something else.
The web. When it was...
when it protected...
the prophet, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fake.
No,
that's
not the story. Yeah. That's not the correct story.
Isn't that a fake? They just made it for, like, propaganda-ish thing?
Okay. The minute Surah Al-Ankabut. Let me take a picture. Yes. So you can start from the beginning. So, let me have this. Take it before you leave. So, when Surat Al-Ankabut, the spider was sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. The kuffar make big fun of him. They really had a big laugh, saying, Muhammad, the God of Muhammad loves the insects.
The God of Muhammad
loves insects. Okay? So they said, okay, one surah is called Surah An-Naml, which is the ant. And another surah is called Surah An-Nahl, which is the bee. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talked about the flies inside one of the surahs. He talked about flies. Okay?
Yeah.
So they have big laugh and say the God of Muhammad is fond of insects. So Allah replied in Surah Al-Baqarah saying that Allah can use an example of a mosquito and even less than a mosquito. Okay? Less than a mosquito. More undeveloped like a mosquito.
Right.
Okay? And then Allah said, the true believers are going to learn lessons. Learn lessons from it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the bad guys, that's the good guys, the bad guys are going to make fun of it. Why? Because the bad guys don't look at the lessons. They look at how does it look like, right? You got it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this surah is named Al-Ankabut after a statement, after an ayah in the middle of the surah talking about the shelter, the house of the spider. Talks about the house of
the spider.
That Allah is saying the people... The false gods, the false god that you're worshiping, okay, or treating people the way Allah should have been treated, okay, if we treat people the same way we treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we treat people the same way that we treat
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
that would be really not good.
So Allah's saying, if you do that, it's like selecting, it's like, yeah, it's like living in a spider house. It's living the spider house. Or it is as weak as the spider house. And if you look at the spider house, it's very weak. It's very weak. Now, a house supposed to be strong, okay, to avoid so that it does not collapse. Also, what do you know? What are the things you know about the house of the spider?
I know the house of the spider. Oh wait, no, but I know.
It's very weak.
It's very silky and like sticky, so yes, you just get attracted to it, and then you'll.
No, that's not what I was after. What I was after is that the house of the spider was weak, and the house is weak, and the house of the spider does not provide shelter, right? It's a fake shelter. It's a fake house.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it the fake house? Because it does not provide
shelter.
It does not provide shelter. And the spider is being deceived. The spider is being deceived. Or the spider is being stupid. He thinks that his house will protect him, but his house does not protect him. He thinks that his house are going to shelter him, but his house will not
shelter him.
He thinks that his house will protect him, but truly his house does not protect him. So that is the example that's mentioned in the surah. That's why the surah was named after this example, which is the spider. So it was after an example. After what?
Mm-hmm.
An example. After an example that Allah has introduced in the surah. If you read this surah, also you can understand this, that anything that is built on other than Allah's guidance is like the house of the spider.
Even
it's like the house of the spider.
Is made by Allah's guidance.
Yes, but I'm talking now about building something on building something that I'm trying to bring. What was I talking about?
You're talking about the story of the spider and how something can.
It's not a story. It's an example.
And then something cannot be built without the guidance of Allah.
Yes. Anything built on other than the guidance of Allah, or other than respect of Allah, or other than worshiping Allah alone, not worshiping middle gods. Okay. Anything like that is nothing but the house of spider. It's nothing but the house of spider. And if you seek protection or other things from other than Allah, okay, then it is like you're asking for a shelter, for the spider house as a shelter. Why?
I told you I have to leave looking for you in
the
last class.
Why?
I have a soft gift.
That's okay.
Did you? Wow.
So anything you built on other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, okay, it's nothing but a house of a spider. It's very weak fabric. It's very weak fabric. To the level of it is as weak as the house of the spider. Now, this surah, this is why the surah is called Surah Al-Ankabut. Now, this surah, which is Surah Al-Ankabut, starts with Allah is ridiculing. Allah is ridiculing the ones who say that we believe and or Allah will not test us. The ones who say that Allah will not test us. You got that? So those people who say that Allah is not going to test us, Allah ridicules them in the beginning of the surah and says, do they think that they will be left alone, claiming that they are believers without being tested? You see what I'm saying? So Allah is ridiculing the ones who... Allah is ridiculing the ones who think that they will not be tested. So Allah is saying that is not going to happen. Why? Because there is what they call lip service.
I have to bother your father getting it.
Yeah, sure.
He's paid a unit
Islamic. I'm in six.
Eight. Which grade are you in Arabic?
I'm TA.
You're TA. So did you graduate last year?
No.
So, okay, tell me.
I think I graduated this year.
No?
I graduated this year.
You graduated this year, yes. Tell me the name.
Shall I write it?
Yes.
Okay. Here.
Yeah.
Wait, is there a course after this for the Quranic?
You can TA.
Okay.
No, there is one more course.
Oh, that's an N, by the way. Mm-hmm. I should make it clear.
Thank you.
So, those people think that they can deceive Allah by claiming that they are believers, right? So, if Allah wants to show the truth about something, how would Allah show the truth about the people? Testing them. Okay? Testing them to see or like to demonstrate that they are not really believers. So they thought that Allah is ridiculing the ones who thought that they can just get away with claiming that they are believers, but they are practicing something else. You know, they're not practicing Islam and they are not depending on Allah when there is a calamity or something like that. You got this part right? So Allah says, I'm going to subject them to fitna. The word fitna in Arabic, okay, is used to the actual meaning or the original meaning or the meaning or one of the meanings of the word fitna is not only test, but it is used to heat the process of heating the gold. When you get raw gold, like raw meat, is it raw or?
For what?
If you want to say rotten meat, I'm sorry, fresh. It's called raw?
Fresh, yeah, raw.
Raw? Okay. So the word fitna is used to, they subject the gold, the raw gold,
The gold ore?
Yes. The gold that they pick up from mines, they subject it to very high temperature. When it is subjected to very high temperature, the dust and the soil attached to the gold will what? Will drop down, will fall, you know, will go down. Separated from gold. And this is how you can get pure gold. Do you understand? This is how you get pure
gold.
It's because the fire, and this process is called fitna. So now this name is also used to name the test of Allah, the test from Allah. So, as the fitna of gold, Allah wants to separate between golden people with golden quality, like with precious quality, from the dirt and the soil and the dirty things attached to it. So Allah wanna divide people into good guys. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to separate the good people from the bad people. Like Allah provide testing. Okay? Just like the gold. To get the golden people, and then the rubbish goes away. The rubbish goes away. So the rubbish people or the bad people will be separated from the good people. Why? How?
How they will be separated?
Yes.
One will go to hell, one will go to hell.
No. In this life, how could you separate between the good guys and the bad guys?
Stay away from the bad guys?
No. How can you separate them? By subjecting them to
fitna.
By subjecting them to Salman?
Fitna.
By subjecting them to fitna. Just like the fitna of the gold. When Allah subject us to fitna, we will show our response will be our response when Allah subjecting us to fitna, our response is going to tell if you're a good guy or a bad guy. So to show the truth about us, okay, Allah subjects us to tests. So the stingy will show that he's stingy. And the nice will show that he's nice. And the kind will show his kindness. Okay? And the mean will show his meanness. And the selfish will show his selfishness. Okay? Allah wants to show the truth about everybody. Yes, exactly. Good job. Like he did to Iblis. Okay? How did Allah test Iblis?
Okay.
Iblis, the shaitan.
He called a human that they were just like, what's this? You shouldn't make this ginger. Like, well.
Right.
And then when he told everybody to bow down to that person, they all did except Iblis. And then he went on rant. He's like, nope, I made a fire. He's made of clay. Why would he should be bowing down to me because I'm made of fire. He's made of clay. I can burn him in 1 second. Then Allah gets mad. Like, you're not going to be in Jannah anymore. And then they're
done. Okay.
And then everybody's like, oh, that thing was just for the title of the nice thing. Because first he was a jinn. They took him up to heaven. He became nicer just for the title.
Yes, exactly.
And then his cover was blown, he actually showed his true side and nobody...
Exactly. He showed a different face. Now, he used to worship Allah like an angel when they took him to... first of all, the beginning of the story that Allah created jinn and sent them to earth first, before humans. And Allah sent them guidance and everything. They have gone corrupt. They later became corrupt to the level that the strong jinn will swallow the little jinn. Okay, will swallow him. You know, swallow them. I'm not saying they are going to swallow their wealth, steal their wealth, or humiliate them. I'm saying that they will swallow the entire jinn.
Take their bank account
number first. Okay, they swallow them. So Allah sent an army from heaven. Allah sent an army from where? From heaven. An army of what?
Angels.
Of angels. They fought the jinn and trapped them into vacant areas of the oceans. You know, there are areas on the ocean that nobody goes there. So,
like it's empty?
Hmm?
Like it's empty?
Yes. So Allah, they trapped the jinn in this place, and they took the troublemaker chief, which was, his name is Iblis, or like the Christian friends, they called him Lucifer. Okay? So when he was surrounded by angels, he started acting like an angel. So when he started acting like an angel, the angels were so impressed and wowed. Why?
Because he all of a sudden turned good.
Huh?
Because all of a sudden he turned good.
Not only that, because he has temptations. He has temptations. And he has the choice to worship, to become an angel or not. Unlike the angels. Angels don't have choices. Angels don't have choices. Okay, what did I say?
Angels do not have choices.
So nobody will be impressed if angels act like angels. Right? But remember, if you have a good kid, you say, "Oh, this kid is acting like an angel." Why is it surprising that this kid is acting like an angel? Okay? Because this person has the free will.
To do good or bad.
Yes, to do good or bad. Okay, and then this person chose to be like an angel, so chose to be good. So the angels were impressed, very impressed. And then they put Lucifer, or the Iblis, they put him in a high status, like being like the boss of them, or the most honorable one. Now, Iblis was doing that not because he loves Allah, but because he wants to be recognized as the most honorable creation. So then the news came that Allah's making a new creation. So Shaitan became scared and worried. Who's going to be better, this new creation or him? So he was worried and he asked, "Do you know why Allah created this guy? Is he going to be my boss or I'm going to be his boss? Is he going to be better than me or not better than me?" So he kept worrying about that. Okay. Then when he went to Adam, when Adam was fashioned with clay and he was standing up like this, as a piece of clay, and Allah did not breathe life into Adam, Shaitan would come and examine Adam, and then Shaitan would go in from Adam's mouth, and he goes through Adam's body, and he gets out from the bottom. So he says, "This guy is weak. Because he's hollow from inside. From inside, he's hollow. Like the jinn from inside, they are solid.
No, they're fire.
No voids. No bubbles. Nothing. They are soil. So, and the solid things are much stronger than the empty things. Like if we get this bottle, because this bottle is weak, okay? Because this, it's, I'm sorry, because this bottle is not full all the way, then you can what? Crash it like this. But if this bottle is filled with plastic, would you be able to bend it like that?
It depends on the quality of the plastic.
Okay. So the jinn, so he wanted to be recognized. And then Allah wanted to show about him. Allah knows that he's doing it for the honor, for the self, you know, for to deceive the angels and to be in a higher status. Okay. So here he said that he is weaker than me because he's solid. He's not solid from inside. He's hollow. He has voids and things inside him. He had vacuum inside, like our lungs, for example. Our stomach, when it's not full, like you are hungry. Our chest has distances, like a small distance between our heart and the surrounding organs, and so forth. Then Allah wanted to show the truth about Iblis. Why did Allah wanted to show the truth about Iblis? So that nobody is going, so that everybody will know that this guy is a bad guy. Why? If Allah will tell the angels that this guy is a bad guy, then the angels would wonder and say, Ya Allah, he's worshipping you like an angel, but he's not an angel. And he worships you like an angel. Okay? So that would be the response of the angels.
Then they're just being dumb.
Hmm?
I thought you said they don't have a free will to do it. They have to do whatever
yes.
Allah tells them to. But if so, Allah tells them that that guy is bad, wouldn't they not have a choice? They can't.
Allah wants them to recognize him and to recognize his ways of telling the good from the bad. So Allah ran him through the test. And you know what did he do at the end? He refused.
Yeah.
And then he gets a silly, ridiculous excuse. Remember that. There is a silly, ridiculous excuses. Like what? Like what the shaitan? What was the silly, ridiculous?
He's made of clay. He's made
perfect.
Of dirt.
Isn't that a silly, ridiculous argument?
Yeah, he's made of wood.
Because people, Allah doesn't look at how the people look like. It's like clothes. Okay?
Inside.
Yeah. His clothes is fire. Our clothes is clay. Okay? So, whatever you wear from the outside does not matter. What matters is your soul. Your soul, your spirit, is this what matters? Okay? So, would Allah argue with someone who gives Allah silly, ridiculous excuse?
No.
Allah didn't answer him. Okay? Allah said, you're doomed. You're cursed to eternity. You're cursed for eternity. And all the angels were ready to jump on Iblis and arrest him and take him to hell. But Iblis asked Allah to give him to grant him
a wish.
No, yes, he wished that Allah will grant him freedom until the day of judgment. He said, just give me freedom until the day of judgment. So Allah said, okay, request is accepted.
But you're not coming in.
He said, then I'm going to take my revenge from them, from Adam and his children. I'm going to take revenge from them by by seducing them or by inspiring them with evil ideas, with Satan ideas. Okay? So basically, he wants to take as many of us with him to hell. So the lessons are, number one, Allah will test everybody to show the truth about this person. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is that about how Allah showed the truth about Iblis by subjecting Iblis to a fitna, to a test. And third, we learn that
about
the silly, ridiculous excuses. When Adam disobeyed Allah and he went to Allah, forgave him. Shaitan disobeyed Allah, Allah did not forgive him. Why?
Because Shaitan did not repent, but Adam did.
Exactly. Shaitan gave a silly, ridiculous excuse. Adam repented right away and he asked for forgiveness, so Allah forgave him.
Iblis should have just
done
that, make all of our lives easier.
Yes. Okay. So that is the lesson to learn here, is that don't give silly, ridiculous excuses. Don't make silly, ridiculous excuses. Allah doesn't like that. Okay? Assalamu alaikum. Did you talk about silly, ridiculous excuses? Allah will test people to show asterisk. The truth about them. To show to others. Okay. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two. Silly, ridiculous. Otherwise, he will curse you like Shaitan. Yes, do you remember the third one?